Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fasamai, welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 2nd of May. Let's have half an hour of the latest news from the Isle of Man to get the bank holiday weekend underway. Coming up, we have reaction from the head of the Manx Development Corporation as the ribbon is cut on the former nurses' home in Douglas. Manx Care is hoping to reinstate face-to-face sessions with new parents from the autumn. Plus, more details from the Infrastructure Minister on changes at the airport. All that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. New scanners being installed at Ronald's Way aren't C3 scanners, which allow people to leave liquids and electronics in their bags whilst passing security. But Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward says they comply with airport regulations.
The very new scanners are significantly heavier, and in a building the age of our airport building, they're actually probably too heavy to go into the current place where the scanner's located.
New plans have been submitted for shops and apartments on North Quay in Douglas. Kelman Limited, the company which was denied permission to demolish and redevelop the former nuisance site, has come forward with another proposal. The new plans don't include the protected buildings, but the connecting properties on the western side. Government is looking for someone to take on the former COVID vaccination hub on Chester Street in Douglas. It's advertising for someone to lease the site for up to £287,000 a year. Manx Care says it's hoping to reinstate face-to-face sessions with new parents in the autumn. It's planning to offer a blended approach to parent craft classes with in-person classes and online videos after carrying out a consultation of women and families about what they would like from them. And Douglas has welcomed its first cruise passengers of the year today. Renaissance arrived in the Manx capital this morning and will depart at around 7 o'clock. Further afield, Nigel Farage says two-party politics is finished in the UK after his Reform Party claimed a series of election victories across England. As well as the Runcorn by-election, they've also taken control of Staffordshire, Lincolnshire, Durham and Lancashire councils. Mr Farage says it's historic.
People want something different. This is Reform Quake. That's what's going on across the country today. These are the most astonishing set of local election results.
The Conservatives are the biggest losers so far, having lost control of every single one of their councils. Prince Harry's lost a Court of Appeal challenge over his security arrangements whilst in the UK, and the King is going to visit Canada. Buckingham Palace says he and the Queen will attend the state opening of Parliament in Ottawa at the end of the month. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Girl my head. Thank you, Siobhan. The weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Another lovely day today and a fine end to the day with sunny spells and then clear overnight. Light to moderate north or northwest wind and a minimum temperature of 7 degrees. Mainly dry tomorrow morning with areas of cloud and a moderate locally fresh northwest wind that could be quite gusty in places. Best of the sunshine in the afternoon, maximum temperature 14 degrees. Dry on Sunday with variable amounts of cloud and some bright or sunny intervals. Moderate to fresh northeast wind and a top temperature of 12 degrees. Sunset tonight at 8:52 and sunrise tomorrow morning at 5:38.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Dillshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view dillshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And the time now, 5 past 5. 72 years after it began its life as accommodation for trainee nurses, the former nurses' home in Douglas has been reopened as an energy-efficient 37-unit apartment block. Renamed Tai Clag, meaning clock house in Manx, the building was formally opened in a ceremony outside the main entrance by Lieutenant Governor Sir John Lorimer. At £11 million, it's the first project to be completed by the Manx Development Corporation, an arm's-length company set up by government in 2021 to redevelop brownfield sites. Simon Richardson was at the official opening for Manx Radio to speak with MDC's Managing Director, Dane Harrop.
So very proud today, first project that we've completed, and you know, it's great that the sun's come out for it.
You wouldn't recognise it from the building it was before. It's been a complex process, hasn't it?
It has. You know, when we first looked at the building, the top floor was in a poor state of repair. You know, the roof was leaking, so we've had to deconstruct that. Then we've had to rebuild that fourth floor. But what that's given us is the opportunity to actually rebuild back in a lighter and more modern way of constructing, which has freed up some load on the foundations and allowed the glassy fifth story that you see here today, giving the building the 37 apartments and the commercial unit that we've produced here today, you know, as opposed to the 126 bed sits that were here when it was built in 1953.
And what sort of interest have you had in it so far?
Fabulous. Obviously, we've got an estate agent now who's looking to get the building filled. We've had well over 200 inquiries within the first 4 days. We've got now 70% of it is let, and they are all with key workers, which again was our target in terms of when we put in for planning. We said that we'd be targeting key workers, young professionals, and returning graduates, and you know, we're fulfilling on that.
This is a landmark development, and of course it's the first of what is proposed to be many in this specific area, which is undergoing a major refurb.
Yeah, it is the first. It was great to do because it was an existing building that was ready for the work, so we took that on as our first project. As you've outlined, we've got Westmoreland Village, which is a wider area around the back of the former nurses home, which had planning committee approval. We're just going through the process of getting the Section 13 agreed, and then hopefully we can be on site in the near future getting on with that. But this is great for us. It's a real shop window. It shows hopefully what MDC can do and gives people hopefully some confidence that we do what we say we're going to do.
That's Dane Harrop, Managing Director of the Manx Development Corporation, speaking to Simon Richardson there. Now, looking over to the airport, where two queues for security have been reduced to just one, while work is underway to replace a scanner. The Infrastructure Minister says the installation of the new security equipment means Ronald's Way can comply with the regulations that are imposed upon it. Work on one machine is underway, and there will be a pause during TT before the second machine is installed. Minister Michelle Hayward has been speaking to Chanel Suku.
In order to install a scanner, we need to remove a scanner, and that means that we're going to reduce capacity going through there for a little bit. So there's one scanner going in before TT. We pause work over the TT period because we recognise how busy the airport is during that time, and then the second scanner will be going in just after TT.
Right, and in terms of day one security, how was that?
Didn't get any reports of any major delays on it. We know there are sort of peak times where, you know, there are several flights going out in the morning, so I would ask people to sort of turn up with a reasonable amount of time and not expect to rush through. But we have put extra staff on into the area.
Now, what do these new scanners mean in future? Does it mean that people don't have to take out that liquid bag from the bag? What does it mean?
We haven't upgraded as far as those ones yet. The very new scanners where you don't have to take your liquids out of bags and everything are significantly heavier, and in a building the age of our airport building, they're actually probably too heavy to go into the current place where the scanner's located. So although there's some planning for moving to that in the future, it will actually mean moving where security is located, so that's going to require a considerable amount of work to do that. But we can't actually put that style of scanners on the floor in that area in the airport because they probably break through the floor. So at the moment, we've upgraded because we need to go to the next level of scanners.
So those new C3 scanners, I know you've explained because of the weight, that's why we're not getting those. But when you travel in the UK, you do see airports slowly introducing them. Does it mean that in terms of technology, we're a bit behind, or is this new installation keeping us on par with the scanner technology.
This new installation is absolutely on par for a regional airport and the scanner technology that we need. It meets the current regulations that we're expected to meet. It is the bigger airports that have the C3 scanners and have a much larger area that they can work in for those. I'm not saying that that's not going to happen in the future, because I suspect it might, but it will be some time away yet.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5:10 now, and Manx Care says it's hoping to reinstate face-to-face sessions with new parents in the autumn. It's planning to offer a blended approach to parent craft classes, with in-person classes and online videos, after carrying out a consultation of women and families about what they would like from them. The online videos that were due to be published in February are now available as of today. Jan Uliat, a retired midwife who's been lobbying for the face-to-face sessions to be reinstated, has been reacting to this news.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful news. I had a letter yesterday from Theresa Cope saying that they are hoping to do a blended approach. So I'm assuming that's going to be a mixture of the videos and face-to-face, which is what will work really well, because it means that those women that can't attend, they've got the videos to look at. And those that maybe do attend the face-to-face, especially the first-time mums, they can also then go back and have another look at the videos. I believe there's going to be feedback at the end of the video, so I would urge all women to give good, honest, constructive feedback, because that will keep determining the future of these kind of sessions. So it really is important. I probably am going to keep my classes going until, like I say, I've got them booked anyway until December, so we'll just see where we are at December. Obviously, I don't want to stop them until I know that the actual sessions have started, so that's where I stand at the moment.
Are you going to continue lobbying, I suppose, for the face-to-face sessions to be able to continue, but also for improvements to those face-to-face contacts that new parents get from the midwifery team?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's still important that women write in their experiences of either face-to-face parent craft and also the experiences that they may have had with midwifery visits, but also those that maybe haven't had a visit and they feel that it would be useful, because it really is important. And as of yet, we haven't got a timescale as to when they are going to start. And I just feel that if they have the information from the women, they can put that point forward, you know, maybe to government for funding and things like that. So I think it's important that they know how the women on the Isle of Man feel. It can be a difficult time. You know, women are very vulnerable. They're extremely tired. They're extremely exhausted. It's very difficult for them to get out to a clinic. So any help that the department can do to ease that burden would be absolutely fantastic. And obviously the best solution, as suggested by the NICE postnatal guidelines, are that women do have their visits at home. So let's just hope. We seem to be going in the right direction, which is absolutely wonderful, and I'm really pleased that Manx Care have taken this on board.
That's retired midwife Jan Uliat speaking to Amy Griffiths there. Now, the lack of a government mortgage scheme is the biggest block for young people getting on the property ladder, according to a former chief minister. Ahead of the 2021 general election, housing was one of the main issues that dominated the campaign trail. Newly elected Castletown Commissioner Tony Brown has been speaking on The Man in Line. He says more could be done to help people buy their first home.
Castletown's quite limited because of the boundaries of the town. I mean, the sea's on one side and then we've got the parishes round us on the other. There is land available. Whether it's accepted by the town as being land that could be developed for residential development is a matter that time will tell. I often find that one of the issues these days is the pace of development. I mean, if you look at how quickly Ballasalla's been developed, it has a massive impact on Ballasalla as you come into it. And that's happened in a very short period of time. I've taken the view for many years that it should be phased development to meet the needs of the town and, to some degree, the wider populace, but not at a rate where you suddenly build 500 houses in about 18 months to 2 years. That is not what people want. Now, okay, that's fine. People say, ah, yes, but you already live in a house. You're bound to think that way. But in fact, the biggest problem that young people have for getting housing is a lack of a government mortgage scheme. The scheme that is there only provides financial support, but they still have to go to a bank or an equivalent society to get the money. And they can't get 100% mortgage. They get 75%. So many of them can't save up the money they need to get the deposit. And furthermore, it's hard to get a mortgage on an old property, which, of course, is what many of us go into. And there's no logic at all all, in my opinion, are driving young people into private rented accommodation if they can't afford it. In other words, if the majority of their income then goes on rent, and that's what's happening at the moment.
Former Chief Minister and newly elected Castletown Commissioner Tony Brown.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Let's take a look at the roads. While the closure of the mountain road between the Craig and the Bungalow has been extended until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, it was hoped it could be reopened by 6 o'clock tonight, but the Department of Infrastructure's asphalt manufacturing plant suffered a breakdown this morning, so work has been delayed there. So staying closed overnight, hopefully reopening by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. In Douglas, Market Street will be closed again this evening from 8 o'clock until 2 in the morning from the back of M&S to Victoria Street for fibre installation works. During the time of the closure, traffic can travel in both directions on the stretch of Market Street that remains open. In the Isle of Man, Youth and Junior Tour cycling event takes place today, and across the weekend there'll be various road closures in place. In Douglas, the Lock Promenade walkway is now closed between the Bottleneck car park and the War Memorial. The closure will be in place until 10 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, there are several road closures in and around the Foxdale and Braid areas between 9:30 in the morning and 3:30 in the afternoon. And on Sunday, there are a series of closures around the Jerby area between 10 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. If you're heading off island this weekend, a slight delay on the 5 o'clock EasyJet flight to Manchester, otherwise all flights due in and out on time this evening. And over on the sailings, Manxman is heading back from Heysham as we speak and is due to arrive here into Douglas for 6 o'clock. And Mananan is sailing to Liverpool currently, due to arrive into the ferry terminal there in just over 45 minutes' time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 17 minutes past five, a civil penalty of over £2.7 million has been imposed on a locally based financial services company. The penalty from the Financial Services Authority on RL360 follows an inspection which identified a number of contraventions by the company in relation to its anti-money laundering and countering of financing of terrorism code. The penalty was discounted by 30% to £1.95 million in recognition of the constructive and pragmatic dialogue with the company and its proactive action to bring about operational changes across its business to address the issues identified and take substantial steps to remediate matters. Simon Richardson has more details.
The FSA says the size of the civil penalty reflects the level of cooperation by the company with the authority, enabling a settlement to be agreed at an early stage. As with all discretionary penalties issued by the FSA, the sum is calculated as a percentage of the company's relevant income at the time the contraventions were identified. Among the contraventions of the code by RL360 uncovered during the FSA inspection was a failure within its business risk assessment to independently assess money laundering and terrorist financing risks specific to each entity. The company's customer risk assessment process was found to lack sufficient detail, clarity, and a clear methodology. In some instances, high-risk customers were incorrectly classified, or their assessments failed to incorporate all relevant risk factors, including jurisdiction and product risk. RL360 was found to have conducted insufficient monitoring for high-risk customers, and trigger event reviews were often not carried out or were insufficient. This included neglecting to reassess customer review profiles and customer risk profiles when changes occurred. For some matters, customer due diligence and enhanced customer due diligence records were insufficient. The FSA concluded that RL360's business relationship with certain high-risk jurisdictions were not properly documented or factored into the customer risk assessment process. This impacted the company's ability to appropriately risk-rate customers and properly assess and manage risk. The FSA ruling went on to outline a number of key learning points for the industry relating to their obligations under the anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism code.
Simon Richardson with that report. Now, government is looking for someone to take on the former COVID vaccination hub on Chester Street in Douglas. It's advertising for someone to lease the premises, as Amy Griffiths reports.
The site is still known to many as the Old Safeway, having once been home to the supermarket chain. Manx Care had to urgently relocate its vaccination operations from then last year because of its suitability to deliver a clinical service. It had previously cited difficulties heating the building and a lack of staff facilities among its issues. Now, government's advertising the site with Chapman Chartered Surveyors. The brochure for the property says it would be possible to create additional pedestrian access openings directly onto Market Street, subject to planning. It's also said to have potential for a variety of uses, including retail, food retail, and leisure, again subject to planning. It's asking for proposals to lease the whole or part of the property for a term of years to be agreed. To rent the ground floor retail space alone would cost £204,830 a year. To lease the storage unit would be an extra £40,488 on top of that, while it will cost £36,810 per annum for the cafe and £5,245 for the staff facilities on the first floor. To rent the whole site will cost £287,373 a year. The advert also quotes a report from CACI in 2023 that claimed with a GDP of £5.4 billion, the Isle of Man boasts a robust and resilient economy. It adds competitive wages indicate the high disposable income enjoyed by residents, with 86% saying they have an excellent quality of life here.
Amy Griffiths. Tonight sees the start of the Isle of Man Youth and Junior Cycling Tour, with hundreds of upcoming talents in the sport set to race on island over the next 3 days. Event co-organiser Rob Holden explains why some see this as a standout fixture on the British Cycling Youth Series calendar.
Well, there's a bit of a double-edged sword going on, really, because we're unique in so much that bike racers of this age normally have to ride on man-made circuits, usually about 1 kilometre long. Quite artificial, but do the job. Great for coaching, etc. What's so unique about the Isle of Man is, certainly from our perspective, is that we have closed real roads. You know, so Friday night we're down on the promenade walkway for a really short time trial, and then on Saturday we're around the Ellerslie circuit we've used for a while, which is really challenging. You know, you don't see that in races for age groups, should I say. So, you know, the kids absolutely love that. They feel like they're basically riding the Tour de France and doing what they see on, you know, they see their heroes doing on TV. And then we move up north on Sunday for a flatter circuit around Jerby. So they get a real opportunity to do something really different to what they normally do. And you know, I go back to, there's so much sport on TV and there's so much cycling on TV. So these kids are now growing up watching a lot of their heroes on TV a lot of the time, and can actually go and do what their heroes are doing. So I think we are unique in that way. We're different. You know, the challenges of getting here financially, logistically, you know, once they're here, they absolutely love it. And, you know, the thing what always astonishes me with kids, they're pretty resilient, they're tough, you know, they go out racing. I know we've got good weather forecast for this weekend, but, you know, we've had atrocious weather and they just get on with it, you know. And it's, I always love watching some of these young kids, and I'm watching some of them on TV now that have been to the Isle of Man before. So many of them are coming through, and you see them. I wouldn't say they've started here, but we've seen them here and they've raced here. And, you know, we usually get a mention somewhere online, you know, with good memories of being here. So tough to get here, but once they're here, they absolutely love it because it is so different.
Rob Holden from the Isle of Man Youth and Junior Cycling Tour there. That event taking place this weekend, getting underway on Douglas Prom as we speak. Now, the Home of Rest for Old Horses says it's overwhelmed by public support following an urgent appeal for help. The charity asked for a quad bike or a 4x4 after both of its own vehicles went in for repair. It's now confirmed local residents stepped in, saying the support shown will make a huge difference to their daily care for the animals. General Manager Laura Bruder spoke to Christian Jones.
It just shows how the community can come together. I think the Home of Rest for Old Horses has been a part of the Isle of Man community for generations. You know, it's free entry. Families can come and enjoy interactions with the horses and donkeys. They can spend quality time outdoors. The fact that, you know, that's recognised by the community and they're there supporting us just feels wonderful. And yeah, we really appreciate it.
And how difficult is it for charities in this current financial climate to actually rely on public funding?
Yes, certainly. So we're a long-standing non-profit charity. We get no government funding and rely entirely on donations and community support. Legacies and donations have reduced in recent years, possibly for those reasons that you've said. So volunteers and event support is now more important than ever.
And have you found yourself having to come up with some more creative, perhaps more out-of-the-box thinking to actually generate more funds?
Certainly. So we are now looking at, well, we have started hosting birthday parties for children, which has been going down very well. It's a lovely venue for children. And we'd like to become more popular with corporate groups for events and social responsibility days. There's a lot that can be done here, from holding big events and fun days to a day out with your team and painting some fences or mucking out some horses or even helping us with a new incentive. So there's a lot of ideas and things that people can get involved with.
Laura Bruder from the Home of Rest for Old Horses there. Well, let's catch up with the latest sporting news with Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard. Fast am I,
Lewis. Well, to start off, as the 24-25 Isle of Man football season draws closer to its end, three cup competitions will form the majority of this weekend's showdowns. The last four phases of the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup and Ascot Hotel Junior Cup will be held across Saturday and Sunday, respectively. Elsewhere, tomorrow, the first of the two semi-finals for this year's Paul Henry Gold Cup tournament for Division 2 sides takes place. See Division 2 and Woods Cup champions Braddon playing host to Colby. In the Hospital Cup, Premier League champions Peel, after beating Ayr United in midweek in a quarter-final showdown, they head to Ramsey, whilst Laxey will be looking to avoid complacency against Douglas High School Old Boys, who secured promotion to the top flight earlier this week. Meanwhile, Sunday, in the semi-final stage of the Junior Cup, we'll see St John's United host Ayr United, whilst Rushden United travel to St Mary's. You can see a full schedule of this weekend's fixtures on our website. In rugby, it's the finale to the season this weekend, with the Manx Cup final taking place at Bala Fletcher on Saturday. Douglas will be hot favourites to retain their Manx Cup title when they take on Vagabonds at 3 p.m. tomorrow. It's one of three games taking place as part of the whole occasion, starting with a women and girls touch rugby event at noon, before a friendly between Southern Nomads and an Isle of Man Barbarian side at 1 p.m. And finally tonight, the Isle of Man's cycling squad to contest this year's Island Games has been announced. Nine riders have been selected in total, with the Manx squad to compete across all of the road and mountain bike events. Five of the athletes were present at the previous games in 2023. Mark Hosthouse and Niall Quiggin were part of the last road events, whilst Owen Collins, Ross Thorley and Eric Kelly were involved in the mountain bike disciplines. Well, new additions for this year include Tyler Hannay, who stepped away from professional cycling last month, along with Ivan Sorby, Callum Salisbury and Kian Howard. At the last games in Guernsey 2 years ago, the Isle of Man took six medals overall across the cycling classes. The 2025 event will take place in Orkney from the 12th to the 18th of July.
Grow my head, Rob Pritchard. That's it for Update tonight. Stick around because there's more Rob on the way with Friday Sport Preview next. And Chris Kinley is here at 6 with Greatest Hits. Hope you have a great bank holiday weekend. Update will be back at the same time on Tuesday.